You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudet. Right now, there are 27,000 people here in Idaho living with Alzheimer's disease. There are 42,000 unpaid family caregivers taking care of someone with Alzheimer's. And Idaho does not have enough neurologists to take care of people with dementia. Now, these are just some of the numbers to come out of a new report by the Alzheimer's Association. It's called the 2022 Alzheimer's Disease Facts and Figures. With us today to break down those numbers and what they mean for people and their families affected by Alzheimer's is Adrienne Kavner. She is the executive director of the Greater Idaho Chapter of the Alzheimer's Association. Adrienne, I want to welcome you to the program.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Gemma. I really appreciate it.
So can we begin with the 27,000 people here in Idaho who live with Alzheimer's? When you look at our population, that's a significant number, and I'm assuming it's expected to grow.
Yeah, we anticipate in the next 3 years, by 2025, we'll see that to grow to 33% or 33,000 or 22.2% of an increase in individuals with Alzheimer's or other dementias.
And this disease, it has such ripple effects and such huge impact on families. Can you talk to us about the 42,000 family members who are the primary caregivers, but also, there is no pay associated with this. You are caring for a loved one.
Yeah, we often call this a true gift to Idaho, right? That totals somewhere just shy of $750 million in Idaho. And it's one of those things that unless you've been a primary caregiver, you just don't know what it feels like the impact. And one of the things that I often tell individuals is that Alzheimer's is a woman's disease. 66% of all individuals that have Alzheimer's are female. Conversely, 66% of all primary caregivers are female. And we know that 25% of all caregivers are what we call the sandwich generation, which means they're the primary caregivers for somebody with Alzheimer's, but they also have somebody under the age of 18 living in their home. So the impact just can't be overstated.
And what do you hear from family members who are caring for their loved ones?
Unfortunately, Alzheimer's is still very much stigmatized, and the very nature of caregiving is also very isolating, right? Especially given what we've come out of with COVID-19, it made an already tough situation even tougher, right? And so often what we hear from people is they feel all alone, they don't know where to turn, and that they are often just kind of stuck. And that's one of the reasons why we do what we do every day with the Alzheimer's Association is get people out of the darkness and into resources to really help caregivers.
Mm-hmm. The new report also talks about the cost of the disease. Just the Medicaid cost here in our state, according to your report, adds up to $149 million every year.
Yeah.
That's a big chunk of money, but I would assume that will also grow as well as more people become diagnosed with this.
Yeah, again, and I think that it's important to note that these are 2025 numbers. This is a horizon that is not too far off, right? We anticipate that it will grow by a little over 30. The costs alone are going to rise by about 31% in the next 3 years. And that will be a tsunami, right?
Right. So then what about out-of-pocket expenses for families? We talked about the Medicaid number. How does this financially impact families?
Yeah, it can be devastating if it's not something that you have planned for, that you have long-term care insurance for. And hence a whole reason why a lot of individuals keep people in the home is primarily because of the cost. And I know that we'll talk probably a little bit more about early diagnosis and why that's so important. But one of the reasons that early diagnosis is so very important is so that you can plan for the financial impact to you and your family down the road.
If you're just joining us, let me reintroduce you to our guest. We're talking with Adrienne Kavner. She's the executive director of the Greater Idaho Chapter of the Alzheimer's Disease Association. We're talking about a new report on how the disease is impacting Idaho. So, you know, Adrian, we've heard of the term food deserts, but the report says Idaho is a dementia neurology desert.
Exactly.
A, what is that? And then B, what does it mean?
What that means is that and we just got done talking about the impact and how it's going to grow. And we are simply not prepared for the amount of individuals with dementia and Alzheimer's that are going to hit our state. We only have 8 geriatricians in our state right now. And that says nothing to say about the amount of neurologists. And so we know just from, there's really only 2 things to do, right? Number one, change significantly to do a big push to get neurologists and geriatricians to the state of Idaho, which we probably know isn't going to happen. But we understand that this impact is going to more significantly fall on the shoulders of primary care physicians. And so one of the things that we're really committed in doing is making sure that they're given the tools to treat and diagnose Alzheimer's and mild cognitive impairment where they're at.
I mean, if, you know, saying all things were equal, how many specialists in dementia care would Idaho need to keep up with the demand?
Well, we know that number just in home health and personal care aides, these are the individuals, just the helpers, right, would be somewhere in the range of about 16,000. And so we would need an increase of geriatricians of almost 1,000% to keep up with demand. And that's just in geriatricians alone.
Right. And so we know that is not going to likely happen.
Probably not. Right. Really, the solution is to give our current infrastructure the tools and the resources that they need to treat Idahoans with dementia where they're at.
Okay, so let's dig a little bit deeper into that then. You mentioned early diagnosis. Can you talk about what MCI is and why the report took a look at this condition?
Yeah, so MCI stands for mild cognitive impairment. In the valley to walk through to dementia, you will go through mild cognitive impairment. This is about 12 to 18% of all individuals over the age of 60 have mild cognitive impairment. This is an early stage of memory loss that causes changes that are serious enough not to be noticed by the person and probably family members and friends, but maybe not affect the individual's ability to, you know, carry out everyday activities. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So why is it so important then to diagnose MCI?
Yeah. Well, we know that 10 to 15% of everyone with MCI will lead to dementia. Now, not everybody with MCI will lead to dementia. I think that's a pretty common misconception, is that if you have mild cognitive impairment, that you will get dementia. And that's just not true. But we do know that about 10 to 15% of everybody with MCI will develop Alzheimer's about every year. And about a third of an MCI, mild cognitive impairment, can be caused for a number of reasons. But we know that the MCI due to Alzheimer's, which are the physical changes in the brain, will develop Alzheimer's probably within the next 5 years on average. And so that's, again, all the more reason why we want to diagnose early. And we, again, in the facts and figures, we know that the vast majority of Americans would want to know sooner rather than later what's on the horizon for them.
So when we talk about mild cognitive impairment, I mean, what should someone be looking for? Because I think, you know, as you age, everybody sometimes forgets a word, right? And it's not like you forget the word, but you're like, no, what is that again? You know, and it takes you a little bit longer than it did, like, let's say when you were a teenager, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right. And I think because we do talk about dementia more, you start to think, well, does that mean I'm going down that path? I would assume there are other things you as an individual or, you know, loved ones should maybe be aware of.
Yeah. So first and foremost, if you think that you or someone that you love has MCI, make an appointment with your doctor to get a formal diagnosis. But some of the things that you may want to look out for are, excuse me, forgetting conversations, misplacing items in the home. Again, as we age, we know that we misplace items more frequently. But really having a diff like a really difficult time finding that item after you have misplaced it might be a symptom of MCI. A difficulty keeping your train of thought, losing your way in a place that was once familiar to you, or feeling really overwhelmed by making decisions or completing everyday tasks that you would normally do every day, like paying a bill, deciding, making dinner, often difficulty doing those tasks that once were pretty easy to you might be symptoms of MCI. And so that's when you would want to, again, these are certainly not things that, impede your normal day, but are noticeable to you. And that's when we encourage you to see either a neurologist, a geriatrician, or your primary care physician.
Well, because as you said, I mean, it's if you can get, a diagnosis, then you can start that care plan earlier and maybe put a path forward for you and your family.
Right. Well, and again, not all MCI will be dementia, right? And so for many Idahoans, this is just putting in practical coping mechanisms to help you with every day-to-day life. And again, breaking that stigma, breaking that isolation is really important in just kind of living a happy and healthy life. And so we know that just knowing that that is caused by something instead of, I'm going crazy, can help, right? Can help in just increasing your quality of life.
So before I let you go, I mean, we've talked about some very serious and critical issues coming out of this report. Are there any is there any good news? Is there any, thing hopeful? Because this can be such a difficult diagnosis. And as we mentioned, there are just so many facets to it that impact the individual, but the family, their friends, and sometimes I think a little glimmer of hope can go a long way.
Yeah. Well, two things. Number one, even in the present, there are so many resources and so much available to those with dementia or MCI and their families. Again, you're not alone. There's an entire community out there that is going through the same thing. And so I encourage people to reach out to our 1-800 number, which is 24/7 around the clock. Clinical level help on the other end. So there are resources, you're not alone. But looking into the future, the treatment pipeline is so vast for Alzheimer's treatments that it gives me a lot of hope. And I know that that's shared by the primary care physician community. About 82% of primary care physicians think that there's going to be a treatment in the next 10 years to prolong the symptoms of Alzheimer's or the prolong the onset of Alzheimer's. And the one thing that I'm really excited about is we know that there's over 200 treatments or treatments for cancer, right? There's only five currently on the market for Alzheimer's. But if you look at the pipeline, so how many successes you have, cancer has about the same success rate as Alzheimer's treatments.
Oh,
They've
wow.
just had more shots at goal that we have, right? So as that treatment pipeline increases, as we see more funding from the NIH, as more people get enrolled in clinical trials, which is another reason why you want to get diagnosed early, the more that we'll see a future where we talk about Alzheimer's like we do HIV and AIDS or cancer. We know that 66% of everybody with cancer is now surviving, and that's the future that I see.
Well, that is good news. I appreciate you coming on the program. We've been talking with Adrienne Cavenier, the executive director of the Greater Idaho chapter of the Alzheimer's Association, and talking about a new report on how the disease is impacting our state. Adrienne, again, thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Up next, how Mexican printmakers use their art for political discourse. More on that next.